so good.
Amen. Just to feel the Spirit moving in this place this morning. And for your spirit of worship and desire to glorify God. First, let's just wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord for all of the mothers in the house. And as we seek to honor those who have impacted our lives to such a great degree, it is truly our honor today. Say happy Mother's Day to all of you ladies. Amen. Because you are truly important to us today. Pray for those who are traveling and those who are visiting with mothers. There's family out and doing graduations today. Deacon Harris is in Lawrence. Brother Zeus was out in Norman, Oklahoma for his sister's graduation. And others are going to be doing some of the same things in the weeks to come because our loved ones, our family and friends have completed a righteous milestone in their lives. Amen. And it's significant, and it needs to be celebrated. Amen. Pray for Sister Lindsay. She is not well this morning, and Brother Lindsay tried to get her to go to the hospital. She wouldn't do it, so pray for Brother because he tries to take care of her and get her through the night so she can go on tomorrow. And then, ladies, get a man a hand for breakfast this morning. Amen. Had a wonderful spread and had some gifts down there for the ladies. And if you didn't get one, understand that before you leave, please go down and grab one of the gifts off the table on the stage and enjoy it. God bless you. It is yours from Christian Charity on this Mother's Day. We thought about doing something different other than giving y'all a flower. Something that you can take with you wherever you go and use whenever there is a need. Come and go with me this morning as we go to the book of Exodus, the second chapter, and we're going to talk about something that I believe everybody knows something about today. So open with me to Exodus chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 2 in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the message this morning. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Bow with me. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you, dear God, for your loving kindness, your tender mercy, your grace, your goodness to us, for every expression of your love, O Lord. For you being so gracious and so kind to us, permitting us, dear Heavenly Father, to come to the house of worship today. And we don't take it lightly, Lord, because it is a privilege that you have afforded us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the word, bless the worshipers, let all be for your glory. Pray, Father, that you'll be glorified through the message, that the church will be edified as we honor mothers today in this place. Bless, Lord, add to the kingdom, add to the church, such as should be saved. And we, O God, will give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Amen. I want to talk about a mother's love. And as I said, I believe that it's a subject that everybody in here knows something about. All of us, every man, woman, and child in this place has or had a mother. And we know how they loved us, how they endeared us, how they blessed us in so many, many ways. And truly it is because of God's goodness and many of us because of our mothers that we are here today. Mothers are very, very special people. Amen. Everybody ought to be saying amen to that, and unless your mama was just really amen. I'll just leave that blank. The Bible even tells us what to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. Amen. And mothers may, they may do some fussing. They might even hurt your feelings every now and then. Amen. They may not appreciate the choices that you make or even the path that you take. But one thing you always need to remember, and that is that your mother loves you. Amen. They love you. So, again, just think about how mothers love. And I'm going to talk about some of the different ways as we walk through the message today. And I don't intend to keep you long, but I do want to lift up the Lord and honor mothers on this Mother's Day. As we look at Exodus 2, we realize, and I want to say that this mother is a blessed mother. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi." And this daughter and this man, they were distant relatives, but they were of the same tribe. Not brothers and sisters, in that he was Levi's son and she was Levi's daughter. They were descendants of Levi, amen, of the tribe. And the woman's name was Jochebed. And Jochebed was the wife of Amram, who was the father of Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. So, and so as I talk about her being blessed, I kind of want to give you a little bit of a historical background so you can get the backdrop and understand why I believe that Jochebed was a blessed mother. Amen. They were different tribes, and the tribe of Levi was the priestly tribe of the 12 tribes. Amen. They were the tribe that had God's covering. They had God's favor. They had God's anointing because they were dedicated to God's service. Amen. The tribe of Levi was elevated to perform holy service in the tabernacle in the desert and in the temple that was erected. This tribe was set aside for its service to Almighty God, and it was an affirmative command for all the Levites to be available to prepare the temple for service. They had a very, very unique but special job in that it was theirs to get the place of worship ready for worship. And then there were certain acts that they carried out during the worship in order that it was pleasing in the sight of God. Amen. And then this temple service, according to Numbers 18:14, "The Levites shall be for me," indicating, that's what the Lord said, indicating that there was a special permanent relationship between God and the tribe of Levi. God had set them aside for his own personal permanent service in the house of God. The choice of Levi for the highest spiritual service was due to their ability, and I wanted to give you the historical backdrop, to channel their strong character in the service of God. The Levites were able to apply their physical and spiritual strength to the fulfillment of God's will and gain forever a role as God's entrusted servants. So these were a very, very special people that God had set aside, dedicated, and designated for his own special use. And then it says that the name Levi is derived from the word "he shall accompany." This name was given to the third son of Jacob and Leah. His role as teacher and spiritual example is to lead and thereby accompany others back to their spiritual purpose. Levi was the father of the tribe of Levi. He lived to be 137 years old. He lived to be the oldest of all of Jacob's 12 sons. Amen. He had a particularly strong influence, if you will, on the spiritual development of his progeny, and lived to see his great-grandsons in Aaron and Moses. Amen. And during the incident of the golden calf, y'all remember when Moses was called up on the mountain, and I'm going ahead, but I'm wanting you to see the significance, the importance of this tribe of Levi. When Moses came down and they had erected the golden calf, the only tribe that stood with Moses and Joshua that day and Aaron was the tribe of Levi. And he said, everybody that's on the Lord's side, come over here. The tribe of Levi, they got over there with Moses and Aaron and Joshua as the Lord began to deal with them for erecting a false god. And for this reason, you see how and why I say Jehochabed was blessed. She was a blessed mother because she was of the tribe and married a man who was a leader in the tribe. But this mother had courage. And this is one of the attributes of a mother. Mothers have courage. They may not be the strongest person physically, but they have a will and they have a passion and they have strength to demonstrate courage like no other. And here in verse 2 through 4, it says, so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, amen, and dubbed it with the asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Now, we know that mothers can be defensive about their children. Amen. You can talk about their husband a little bit, but don't mess with their children. Amen. You can talk about, oh man, a little bit. You can get away with a little bit with him, but when it comes to their children, they become immediately defensive. Amen. And I know because I get in trouble sometimes talking about my kids. and they are our kids, but sometimes when I say what I think is just a little funny, I get, I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just leave that alone. But we know animals, amen. We know animals can be very, very protective of their young. We watch these barn swallows at our house every year come build their nests, have their little ones, and then when you walk out the door, they start flying at you because their young is in the nest. Then those of us, I don't know about y'all, but we've had dogs growing up as children, and dogs would have litters of puppies, and you want to give the puppies away, but you had to lock the mother up in order for people to even come in the room to look at the puppies because she was, what, very protective of her puppies. And believe me, human mothers are equally as protective of their children. Matter of fact, I've seen some godly sisters lose their religion when folks start talking about their kids. You know, they start taking off their earrings and stepping out their shoes and stuff. You know, it's ready to be on. Amen. Because somebody has made the mistake of saying something. You had to do a double take and make sure it's the same sister that was just in church on Sunday singing and shouting hallelujah. But Jochebed was a courageous woman because she bore her son and then she hid him for 3 months. Amen. And you know, to disallow or to disobey Pharaoh would result in extreme punishment and perhaps even death if you were a slave. But Jochebed had the courage to hide him until she couldn't hide him any longer. And then the Bible says she built an ark of bulrushes. And bulrushes are the reeds and the long grass that grew along the side of the Nile River. And then she pitched the inside of it. The Bible says with tar and mud is basically what it consisted of. And that same sticky mud that runs along the Nile is still used for plaster in some industry there in Egypt. Amen. She built it out of bulrushes and mud, and she let it dry, amen, in order to prepare an ark, a miniature ark. And we know how God can work with arks, don't we? Because when Noah built the ark, God saved the human race through the use of that ark. Now, this woman, she took her son, and I just want to let you understand clearly this business of being courageous, because there were two midwives, and one was named Shifra and the other one was named Puah, and the midwives were, according to Pharaoh, supposed to, when a child was born, they were supposed to kill the male children and save the girl children. But the Bible says in Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king commanded them, but saved the male children alive. When a mother fears the Lord, her courage is increased because the Lord is the strength of her life. Her strength, it comes from the Lord, and because of the strength that God brings, it gives her hope. She understands that there is nobody greater or mightier than the Lord. When a woman truly fears the Lord, she will sacrifice herself, put herself in harm's way in order to protect her children. Now, her courage led to her having hope. And you know what the Bible says about hope. When you look at Romans 5, it says, and not only that, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. So when you look at this, a mother who loves her child and has courage, she is willing to put all of her trust in the Lord and know that hope will never let her down. If our hope is in God, we can basically count on the outcome. Jochebed was not only a blessed mother, she was a courageous mother. And where our hope is in the Lord and the Lord is our strength, God's providence will kick in and work to our advantage. And verses 5 and 6, it says, then the daughter of Noah, a Pharaoh, came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Now, when you look at this, somebody might say that it is just coincidence, that it is just happenstance, but I beg to differ with you. I believe that it is the providence of Almighty God, that after she placed him there, it didn't say he was there overnight, 2-3 days, but when he was placed in the reeds there in the bulrushes, that his sister was standing back watching. And here comes the daughter of Pharaoh with her maidens, and as she comes, she saw the little ark sitting out there and sent somebody to get it. And then when the baby was crying, the Bible says she had compassion on this child. Said it was one of the Hebrew children, but she had compassion. And God providentially used this Egyptian princess to overrule, to override the will of Pharaoh. Amen. And you know, because he wanted to kill all the Hebrew babies because the Hebrews were literally outnumbering the Egyptians and they had become fearful of them. And see, when God is at work in your life, nothing is an accident. Everything is by his plan. Everything is by his design. And when this child was discovered, she had compassion on the child. So God's providence let her find the child. Now God's favor kicks in. In verse 7-9, it says, "Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.'" My God. Now, just watch how God works when you have his favor. Amen. Moses' sister was there watching, and then she asked her, "Now, do you want me to go get a nurse for him from the Hebrew women?" And, of course, she said yes, because she wasn't going to nurse him. Now, God's favor fixed it so that she went and got Moses' mother, Jochebed, amen. Can't you see how God's providence and God's favor are working together? And she came, amen, she put him out in a little ark in the bulrushes on the Nile River, and then God sends the princess by, and the sister's waiting, and she tells her to go get her nurse from among the Hebrew women. I come and I tell y'all all the time that God's favor is worth more than silver or gold. Yeah. Amen. When you got God's favor, amen, you got everything you need. When the Lord favors you, you don't have to worry about a thing. Now, look at how God worked this out because of his favor. Not only did she get her child back and get the opportunity to nurse her child, but Pharaoh's daughter said, "And I'll pay you your wages." Now, you tell me that's not favor. When you get your child back, you get to nurse him, and somebody going to pay you for doing what you would do for free. That is the favor of Almighty God. Oh, my Lord. She had God's favor working in her life. And not only that, but she was willing to carry out her responsibility as a mother. Verse 9 says, so the woman took the child and nursed him. Now, I just can't believe that Jochebed sit there holding her little son, amen, feeding him, and that she wasn't maybe singing or humming some of Zion's song, that she wasn't repeating some of the words from the Hebrew scripture, from the Torah and the written word of God at that time. I just have to believe that as a mother, that she was operating under the Proverbs 22:6 principle, and that is that you train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Amen. See, mothers are children's first teachers. And Jochebed had the opportunity, even though Pharaoh's daughter had every intention of adopting him, making him her own son, to train her child up. See, and believe me that if you look at it, let me say to our mothers, especially to those young mothers that are present today, take the opportunity to teach your children about the Lord. Instill in them the word of God. Make sure that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Make sure that they have a relationship with the master of the universe. They have a relationship with the creator of all of heaven and earth, the one who rules and super rules. Amen. Raise them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Fulfill your responsibility, your Christian mother's responsibility, to raise your children after God's ordinance. Jochebed did what she needed to do. And then because she had fulfilled her responsibility as a mother, she was willing to sacrifice. And I can just say it, mothers will sacrifice for their children. Amen. And I tell young men all the time, all you got to do is take care of your wife. She'll take care of your children. Amen. You may come up short sometime, but the kids going to have everything they need. They're going to bless their children. But here it says in Exodus 2:10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. I'm sure that when Jochebed took Moses up to the palace, that she didn't have a smile on her face, but her heart was heavy. But I knew that within that same heart, she realized that she had done her best, amen, to prepare Moses that he might know the God of the Hebrews, that he might know who his people were, but most of all, that he might know whose he was. And in that, she was comfortable in leaving him with this princess. And I know that as a child of nobility, that he was afforded numerous very, very great benefits, that he had had access to privilege and many, many other things. But Moses, according to Hebrews, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. He had many privileges. He had many rights. But Jochebed had instilled in him that he was a Hebrew and he was a servant of the Most High God. See, Jochebed's love reminds me of mother's love during the days of Solomon. If you remember, there were two women of the night, and they both had children around the same time. And one of them child died. And she got up and she switched out her dead baby for the live baby. And when they woke up that morning, the lady who had been given the dead baby recognized that was not her child. And it ended up in the court of Solomon. And there in the court, one was saying it's mine, the other one was saying it's mine. And Solomon could not make a decision, but he was the most wise man to ever live on the face of the earth. And so Solomon said, take the child, cut it in half, and give each of them half of the baby. And the real mother's love said, no, 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 give the child to him. And when she was willing to sacrifice holding the child as her own, Solomon knew that she was the real mother, because a mother would rather see another woman raise her child than to see it killed. Oh, my God. The same Moses, because of his mother's influence, hated injustice. And there were two accounts that set him on a course to meet God. The first one was when he went out and he saw an Egyptian soldier whipping a Hebrew slave. And Moses killed him and buried him in the sand. And they told on Moses, and Moses had to leave and flee away from Egypt. And when he left, he sat down by a well. And while he was sitting there, the daughters of Jethro came to water their father's sheep. And there were some other men who came around, and they began to harass these women, and Moses rose up and drove them away, and thereby he met Jethro and married his daughter. And then while out on the backside of the desert where he was tending Jethro's sheep, God set a bush on fire out on the backside of the desert, and Moses saw it when he went by, and the bush was burning. When he came back, the bush was still burning. And Moses turned aside to see what this wonder was, that this bush had burned, but it had not burned up. When he got close, there was a voice that spoke to him and said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. Well, Moses became a great leader. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt, but didn't cross over into the promised land with them. But it all goes back to the influence of one woman, and that was his mother, Jochebed. She was a blessed mother. But I want to look at another mother as we head for a close. There was a virgin named Mary that the angel came and told that she was going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. She was told that she would be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and when she conceived, that life in her would be the Son of God. And when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, then the Lord was conceived. Then in a little town called Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to a boy child and called his name Jesus. But there was a word of prophecy shared with Mary, amen, concerning her soul being pierced. And in the book of Luke, listen now, it says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. And Mary saw her son raised, and she saw him become a great man and start his ministry, his earthly ministry, at the age of 30 years old. She saw the miracle. She heard about the mighty works that he did because he truly was the Son of God. But one day trouble came in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus was taken away, and he was tried, and he was whipped, and then ultimately he was led up to Golgotha's hill. Now, all of this time, his mother was standing by, and her soul was pierced through because she witnessed the pain, the agony, and the suffering of her own child. Amen. And it's just amazing how mothers will stick with their children longer than anybody else. A child can be a scoundrel, he can be a rascal, but mama's still gonna love that child. She's still gonna stand by him. She's gonna support him. She's gonna encourage him. She's going to try to help them make the right choices. That was not the case with Jesus. All he did was good, and his mother was standing there beneath the cross. And as Jesus was hanging on the cross, dialogue began. And he said, "Woman." And it was not a term of disrespect, but it was a term of identity and respect because it was his mother. He said, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, he told him, "John, behold your mother." And then Jesus, in that time, provided for his mother that physical security that every aged woman needs. Somebody to care for them, somebody to take care of them. And when he had finished, somewhere around the ninth hour, my Bible says that Jesus said to his Father in heaven, "Father, it is finished now. Into your hand I commend my spirit." He died out there on Mount Calvary. They took him down and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. And the Bible says that he laid there all night, Friday night. That he laid there all night, Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And while, when those women came, amen, to prepare the body of Jesus for its permanent burial, but they came and found that the grave was empty and there was an angel sitting on the stone that had sealed the grave. And the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Well, Mary was right there to see the empty grave. She was there to witness the fact that her son had risen from the dead. But Mary, in her heart, had to have comfort, because I'm sure the words of John 14 resonated in her heart, because Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." A mother's love will always be present as long as their children are alive. A mother's love is something that cannot be replaced. And even a great woman like Jochebed, a great woman like Mary, they just keep loving their children. And mothers, let me tell you today, love your children. Love them with the love of the Lord. Encourage them to do the right things. Encourage them in Christ's likeness. Oh, it's all right if they're going to be big and bad and they can whip everybody on the block. But they still need to know Jesus. Amen. Because see, if they know Jesus, they might be able to whoop everybody, but they won't. Because the Lord is alive in their lives. Amen. And then, Lord have mercy. Our little girls. Mothers and fathers, put your arms around them. Hold them close. Teach them about the Lord. And when brother man comes over, want to take him out. Sit him down. Let him know. I'll just do it. I'll just tell you like I did. I did it. She don't even owe you a kiss. And if you want your money for dinner, knock on the door. And I will give it back to you. Do we understand each other? Roy Young sit on my sofa and said, yes, sir, Mr. Norman. I wanted him to understand that Jana didn't even owe him a kiss after the prom. So make sure. As a matter of fact, I got a contract, brothers. Y'all want a mother's love and a father's love cannot be replaced. The influence of your love on your children will set the course and the direction for them for the rest of their lives. And that's because your love for the Lord shapes your love for your children. Stand with me as we extend the privilege.